This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Getting a terminal disease diagnosis from the vet is terrifying. For most pet parents, they don't know what to do, so they'll either rely on the conventional wisdom of or expertise of their vets, or they'll seek out a conventional veterinary specialist. Like in human medicine, there's a protocol. A specific disease has a specific protocol in conventional medicine, and it's somewhat of a guess as to how the patient will do. Today, there are options pet parents need to know about. That road less traveled, although more and more are traveling it. My guest today is one such doctor, Dr. Marlene Siegel. She's a holistic veterinarian who has a lot of tools in her kit to heal, and she's done a lot of healing. And I'm talking about pets with, yes, skin issues, but diabetes, cancer, even paralysis. Some of the therapies that she's used to great effect, you might not have even heard of. But I urge you to be open and hear what she has to share with us today. She's the vet pet parents may go to when the conventional vet says, there's nothing more I could do. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jody Teich, your host. We're going to take a short break from our sponsor, but when we come back, you're going to meet Dr. Marlene Siegel, and she's going to share some beautiful healing information and important healing information with us. So grab that healthy beverage, get cozy, and don't go away, because the doctor is in the house and she's teaching. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jody Teich, your host. My guest today is Dr. Marlene Siegel. I'm really excited about interviewing her today because she practices some very beautiful, effective, and cutting-edge tools, practices, protocols, certainly by conventional standards, that heal. So let's go inside and find out more. Welcome, Dr. Siegel.
Hi, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I'm so excited to have you on the show. You know, one thing that comes up over and over again is, like a lot of holistic vets, you were trained and began as a conventional veterinarian. So for you, what changed?
Well, for most of us that leave that sandbox, there's a life-transforming event that makes us have to seek other answers. And so for me, it was an accident with one of my horses and my youngest daughter. And the horse saved my daughter's life. So when it came time for me to find out what had happened to the horse and how I could fix her, I was told by equine veterinarians they really weren't sure what happened, but she's not safe to ride. She'll never be shown again. And I could either put her out to a pasture or I could put her down. It was those words of hopelessness where they said there was nothing more that can be done. And it awakened something in me that I never even knew was there, but it was this determination to fix that horse. And there was nothing that was going to stop me. There was, just because they didn't know that they didn't have a solution for me, didn't mean the solution wasn't there. And so I had to seek answers where there were no answers. Because going back that far in my career, even the human side of functional medicine was just being birthed. So I had to work really hard to find mentors and find information. And then I had to extrapolate it and apply it to the animals because there was nobody out there doing what I was doing. It was far beyond acupuncture and herbs. This was really getting into diagnostics and quantum healing and understanding bioregulatory medicine, which is essentially what I got into.
That's my next question. Explain bioregulatory medicine for my listeners.
So we talk about, in our conventional world, we name it, we blame it. It's symptom diagnosis and then symptom suppression. But with bioregulatory medicine, which is very, very old, by the way, it came from Europe, it's understanding the biology of the body, understanding the root cause of what happened to create the dis-ease. I don't think there is disease in the world. I think there is dis-ease, meaning the body is no longer in balance. There's no more homeostasis where there should have been. And so with bioregulatory medicine, we're seeking to understand and find that root cause of the problem. And maybe there's more than one, but then we address it at that root level. And it's remarkable how well the body has this innate intelligence to heal. We just have to quit inhibiting it and mm-hmm. then support it so we can
and
do it.
Get out of its way.
Absolutely. You know, you look at all the things that mankind has created, which is fast, cheap, and convenient, like plastic as an example, and pollution. And we realize that nature really does have the sustainable answers for everything. And sustainable means that you can go from generation to generation and you're successful. Well, man hasn't been so good at that. So what I do is I look at nature for solutions. If the solution in nature is, for example, carnivores eat a raw meat diet, well, then that's going to be the diet that I'm going to model after as well as I can in our modern world. But I'm not going to try to pretend that a kibble or frankenfood is actually going to be sustainable for these animals, because it's not. And we have to start using our critical thinking skills. It's really been taught out of us, where we have to stop and go, seriously, is that product that can last on your shelf for 25 years truly going to be beneficial to my body or not? So I think when we start using our critical thinking, we can start helping to solve the questions of what is the truth.
Yes. You know, this brings up a couple of things. The way to imprint a way of thinking is through constant spaced repetition. And this is what marketing and advertising has been doing to the population for decades and decades. And so what has happened with the kinds of foods that many pet parents would feed their pets is a result of that. And luckily now more and more are understanding that just like fresh food for us is the healthier way to create vibrant good health, they're understanding that that's the same for their pets. But what I thought too was very interesting about when I was doing my research about you, Dr. Siegel, was in my health coaching practice for people and for pets, I address body, mind, and spirit. And this is one of the things that so resonated with me about how you treat pets. You talk about trapped emotion release as part of your healing protocol when it's appropriate. Tell us more about that.
So we know from ancient Chinese medicine that each of our organs has an emotion that is related to it. So the concept isn't new. And there are several documentaries out that talk about how these trapped emotions that have not been dealt with, we suppress them, can down the road lead to dis-ease, such as women that have a lot of grief and they end up having breast cancer or lung cancer. People that are very fearful and have a lot of anxiety can have kidney and bladder problems. And people with anger issues often will have liver issues. So we know that there's a link there, but it goes even deeper than that. Think about the fact that nothing is a coincidence in the world. I believe on a spiritual level that everything has meaning and significance. So think about the fact that there is a particular pet and a particular person's life with a particular set of challenges at a particular time in their life. There's no coincidences there. There's deep, deep meaning. And so I'll take a look at what that animal is going through, where the location of the dis-ease is. And then I start evaluating the pet parent. And I look for some of the clues that might tell me, personality trait-wise, what is that animal really helping to express? Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it guilt? You know, there's always something there. And then as I start to identify it, I do muscle testing and I'll release it from the animal. And then the next job is, can we release it from the pet parent? And some people are absolutely willing to go there. They actually recognize the patterns that they've been doing over and over and over again. You know, so if somebody comes in and they're feeling tremendous shame or loss, and I'll literally just say, have you had that experience before? When have you had this emotion before? And immediately they go, oh, repetitively. So they're hardwired to this. And I think about it like a street sign or when you're using your GPS. If you go past the part that you were supposed to turn at, it starts telling you, oh, make a U-turn, up, oh, make a U-turn, up, oh, make a U-turn. And so that's what our emotions are trying to do. Our emotions are actually our guidance system. And when we're experiencing low vibration emotions, or we're experiencing a lot of what I call resistance, where things just aren't working out for you, that's our guidance system coming up and saying you are headed in a wrong direction. If it's just mild resistance, then maybe you don't have to make a big course correction. You just have to step back, take a deep breath, and look and see maybe there's another opportunity that would be better than where you're at. But if you're really off course, you're just going to get knocked down. You are not going to be able to move forward. Everything is going to go wrong, and you're going to be feeling like you're a victim, but you're really not a victim. You're in charge all the time. You just have to choose. Do I want to understand that the circumstances I'm experiencing, as ouchy as they may be, are really happening for my highest and best good? So how can I now change the experience so that I can support that highest and best good? So I can move into that new level of journey where I'm experiencing things from a higher vibration.
Such important information. Oh my God. And, you know, we know that we are very connected with our pets, but I don't think that many pet parents realize just how deep that goes. And because we're all made of energy and everything around us is made of energy, the energetics, every cell vibrates on its own frequency, those energetics, the quantum physics of it, if you want to get scientific, it has such incredibly deep and powerful resonance when it comes to our pet's health and our health. And I guess that's why we often find that sometimes, like you were saying, what shows up in terms of dis-ease in a pet is also residing in the pet parent in some form or another. So because they pick everything up, we pick things up from each other.
It's the principle of entrainment. So that's not even woo-woo. That's actually physics. You know, when one energy comes in contact with another energy, they will harmonize until they reach an equilibrium in there. And so that's what happens. So think about when we're very, very upset or we're having a horrible experience and you're crying your heart out, who comes over, puts their head on your lap or climbs in your lap or puts their head underneath your hand, and you start touching them and petting them. And without even realizing it, you start to feel better. The world isn't as dark and heavy. It's because they're taking some of that heaviness and they're saying, here, take my shoulder and I'm here with you and I'm going to help support you. Some people take that as, oh my gosh, I've created this horrible thing in my animal because I have issues. And it's not that at all. That's taking on the victimhood again. It's about realizing that everything is here for our support. The plants, the trees, the animals, nature, all of that is here. You know, we take a walk in nature, we feel better. We sit out in the sun, we feel better. It's that same experience. We're entraining to the energies around us and helping to take away some of that density, that heaviness in the third dimension.
And it's so reciprocal. I think that when we are in that state of flow, where it is reciprocal with our animals and nature, that we feel more in flow because we're in sync almost with the vibration and energy of the universe. So, and I know we're getting woo-woo and out there, but it's so real.
It's important because people today are so disconnected.
Yes.
We are light beings and yet we're not out in light. Most people get up, it's dark, they get dressed inside their house, they get into their car, they go to work, they're under artificial light all day long, and then they come back home and they're in artificial light in their house, and they're not experiencing the light energy that literally drives our energy processes. Our little mitochondria that make the energy for us, they are stimulated by red light. How about that, right? So we are literally designed to be outside and experiencing light. And yet people aren't experiencing that. People that live in zones where there's a lot of darkness and cloudiness and it's cold. I live in Florida. It's 24/7. I get to enjoy.
I know. I used to live there.
And right before we came on the podcast, I was out picking plants for my tea. So, you know, you have to ground yourself. You have to be part of nature. And yet so many people are so disconnected. They don't put their feet on the ground. They don't go to the beach. They don't get negative ions that recharge them. They're not grounded. And exactly. So they wonder, why do I feel so disconnected? It's because they're really disconnected.
Exactly. So you mentioned how cells are stimulated by light, and you mentioned red light. And that leads into a phrase that I saw on your website that I use and that is out there now for a while. It's about biohacking. And it may be a trite sounding phrase or become that, but it's very real in that there are modalities and practices that you can consider biohacking, and you use a lot of these. Now, red light therapy is one. It's been around for a long time. I don't think people understand or maybe think about it for their pets, maybe even not for themselves, but certainly not for their pets. Let's talk a little bit about biohacking for our pets' health.
So it comes back to that whole bioregulatory piece. When we understand the biology and how it works, we don't live in the same environment and lifestyle that our ancestors did. We're not working outside from dawn till dark. We're not going to bed shortly after the sun goes down. So we have a plethora of food. We don't have the same hormetic stressors. A hormetic stressor is a stressor that the body is under that helps to tell the cells how to respond so that you can be more resilient down the road. So one of the hormetic stressors was extreme temperatures. We don't experience that anymore. We have, of course, air conditioned and climate controlled homes and cars and workplaces. Even if you live up north, you don't sit out in the winter and, you know, get really, really freezing cold. And our pets don't do that anymore either. And then, of course, the plethora of food. We have so much in the way of resources, albeit it is the wrong kind of calories, but there is nonstop food. We just walk over to the refrigerator and our pets just walk over to the bowl and they have a whole bowl of kibble sitting in there. You know, again, the wrong thing to be eating and the wrong lifestyle to eat it within. But yet that's the lifestyle we've created. So we don't have that periods of starvation, which lead to autophagy, the ability of our dead and dying cells to be eaten up and repurposed for the reasons that we can reuse them. But we have all of these dead and dying cells. We make billions of new cells every day, but the old ones have to be recycled. And if we don't go into this autophagy phase, then we're constantly building, but we're not getting rid of the trash. So that's important. And last but not least is exercise. You know, we talk about in the olden days, if a dog wanted to eat, they had to chase down their meal. They had to wrestle it. They had to consume it quickly before some other predator heard them and came over. So high intensity exercise was definitely a part of their lifestyle. Nowadays, dogs barely go out and walk the neighborhood, let alone get any high intensity exercise. And the same applies to their pet parent. You know, there's not this consciousness to be aware of it. And yet these are really, really damaging. So biohacking is all about how do we recreate the things that our body needs in order to thrive? We are so accustomed to surviving that we don't realize we're not thriving. If our car doesn't get an essential nutrient, it just doesn't work. Don't put gas in it or put sand in it. It's not going to work. It's done. But our bodies, even when we don't get what we really need, they're going to have adaptation to keep us alive long enough, hoping that the winter goes away, things are blooming again, there's food resources, there's not so much danger. But in today's modern society, we're just never leaving that problem of not living a sustainable lifestyle. So we just keep surviving, and we get so accustomed to that, we don't even know what thriving looks like.
So some of these biohacking tools that you found to be really useful, effective, red light therapy, we just mentioned, that stimulates on a cellular level. Talk about that. Talk about what that actually does for a pet. And how do you find that resource if you're not on the West Coast of Florida?
Well, it's not just red light. I use full spectrum light as well.
Okay.
And one of the machines I have is a particular endo laser that produces colors of wavelength from ultraviolet to blue to yellow, green, red, and infrared. And so I can select the diode of color that I want, and I can actually use it intravenously. So we can put an IV catheter in, and then there's a little fiber optic that goes through that catheter, and then I can photoactivate the red blood cells by giving a product that the tissues will take up, and then I give the wavelength of light that will activate that particular product and make it more enzymatically active. So that's what light is doing. It's increasing the enzymatic activity of the product. So we create a lot of photosensitizers in our body. They're byproducts of our metabolism. So when we are exposed to full spectrum light, we are activating those molecules and making them more active. Then we can do what is called photodynamic therapy. And that's where we give a compound. It could be riboflavin. It could be vitamin C. It could be curcumin. And these products can be taken orally or intravenously. And then we give the wavelength of color that will activate that particular product. So we know what those wavelengths are.
Wow.
And we're able to increase the enzymatic activity. When that happens in cancer cases, we cause reactive oxygen species, which then will lead to the death of that cancer cell.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps right now because it is so cool and fascinating.
Yeah.
How do you identify the right light frequency for, let's say, for a supplement, for curcumin or for vitamin C or for whatever?
There's lots of studies out there that have already
identified that.
So that's easy peasy. But then right now there's a lot of research being done in gene mapping and looking for the gene mutations.
Yes.
The only things that they're testing against these gene mutations are chemotherapy drugs. So I'm starting to work with one of the companies to introduce the alternative products and see if we can then show the activity that we can have against that particular cancer that has that particular gene mutation and have safer and more effective products. And we don't have to we don't have to use chemotherapy, or we can use much lower doses.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good luck with Big Pharma on that one.
Well, we're working on it. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Good. You know, that's encouraging.
Dr. Alan Schoen, many, many years ago, he said, "Don't poke the dragon." Meaning trying to go straight at the dragon with a spear, you're going to get burned up. But we are entering a time period now where so many pet parents want better for their pets, for their children, and for themselves, and for the planet.
Absolutely.
So now it's a different movement right now. It's not one of competition. It's definitely a movement of cooperation. We're saying we don't want to make you the bad guy. We just want you to work with us. The end goal is we want our pets to be healthy. We don't want to be dying of diseases 7 years younger than they did 25 years ago. Seriously, our pets are living
when we have the technology we have today.
There's no excuse. So we really have to be, as pet parents and pet guardians, it's up to us to say we will not accept any longer lifestyles that are causing our animals to die or get ill or live shorter lifespans than they should. We're all leaving the planet, right? It's not a question. At some point, we're all going to leave this planet. The question is, have you had quality of life while you were here? And have you accomplished, in a human form, have you accomplished what you came here to accomplish? Because I think everybody does have a purpose and a passion. And some people figure it out and some people don't. And it's not right or wrong. It's just what it is. So I would love to see pet parents who take a stronger action by voting with their dollars. That is your vote. Where do you spend your money? Are you buying foods that have canola oil in them, that are genetically modified, that are not organic, that are full of hormones, chemicals, and pesticides? Are you paying for that? Well, then you just supported that industry.
They'll give you more of it.
They're going to give you more.
There's so many layers because the system is structured so that
that's cheap.
Let's take drugs. You know, I mean, when big pharma fully grasps, and maybe they already are because you're saying you're working with that they can monetize in a very big way, healthier alternatives to disease. That is a beautiful aha moment. But now insurance will pay for your pharmaceuticals, but they won't pay for your supplements generally. And I see this all day long because I work as a wellness specialist in a wellness center here in Austin where I live. And people come in all day long talking about their problems and how much money they spend there because they want to do better and how much of a struggle it is to do better. And it's the same with food. They make it less expensive to buy the things that are not best for our bodies or our pets and harder to do good. But that actually brings us right into what I talk about a lot with my clients, with my audience, and I know is a foundation piece for you, but I want you to mention it too because you are a doctor and you are so knowledgeable and well-versed. Diet. We talked earlier about the kibble in the bowl. We know this is not good. We know this is like feeding McDonald's every day. It's dead food. And the supplements that they have to put in because they killed everything natural in there causes chronic inflammation because it's a mirror. It's not the real thing in the body. So talk about why you choose and offer pet parents, because I know you make food.
Yeah, we have a pet parents.
You have a food line. Talk about why and what.
Not just food. Let's just talk about in a broad spectrum. I said in the beginning, I look at nature and I see how nature becomes sustainable. So when it comes to food, we know that dogs are scavenger carnivores and cats are obligate carnivores. If you have a cat, listen up, because cats have no dietary requirement for carbohydrates. Yet, all these commercial cat foods are feeding these animals 40 to 60% carbohydrates. And you're spending a lot of money for that premium food that has the highest carbohydrate count. Doesn't make any sense. So we literally know that sugar creates inflammation. And then when you add the non-organic that has glyphosate in it and some of the other hormones, chemicals, and pesticides, it creates leaky gut. So we're supposed to have these nice tight junctions in our gut that is able to separate what's going down the GI tract. And only certain things are allowed to come into the body. Everything else is supposed to go out the poop chute. Well, now it's like taking a piece of cheesecloth and you're trying to strain your chicken soup, but you have holes in the cheesecloth. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to start getting chunks of chicken and herbs and other things are going to fall into your soup that were not originally designed to go in there. And that's happening in your body. Now those foreign materials travel by the bloodstream to the liver, and then the liver sees it as a foreign invader. So it does its job. It's going to mount an inflammatory cytokine storm. That's our inflammation to get rid of the invader. Totally what it's supposed to do. It's doing a great job. The problem is in today's modern world, we have these invaders coming in every bite of every meal, every day, multiple times a day for the life of that pet. So the inflammation never turns off. And at some point, the body becomes so exhausted with all this inflammation going on that it says either I'm going to start seeing boogeymen on the kidney, on the liver, on the thyroid, and then we see autoimmune disease, or it's just going to lead to this overwhelming amount of inflammation that leads to chronic degeneration. And the end stage of that degeneration is cancer. So these are not diseases that are invading our body. These are our cells. These are our pet cells that have gone rogue because we have created such an inhospitable terrain. You know, think about the planet. We are the planet. And we have more microbes in and on us than we have our own human DNA by over 100 to 1. So when we are destroying our gut microbiome, or we're not supporting that gut microbiome for us and or our pets, we're losing genetic functionality. And we're also creating a perfect environment to have deterioration happen. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the worst stages of chronic illness that we've ever seen in the history of the world. I'm practicing for 40 years. That's 40. And when I first started practicing, I saw cancer once or twice a year. I see anywhere from 4 to 10 cancer cases a week.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And our pets are living shorter by at least 7 years or more.
Yeah.
And cancer rates in dogs are almost 100%. They say 1 out of 1.65. I think it's higher than that. That was a 10-year-old statistic. Cats, they say 1 out of 3. Absolutely not. It's higher than that. So at some point, this is the big take-home message. At some point, we as the pet guardian, as the pet parent, have to stop and say, I choose to be responsible. I choose to own this lifestyle, and I'm going to take the time to educate myself on what really is healthy, not what the advertisement is, not what Big Pharma is selling me, not what is fast, cheap, and convenient, because it's the paradigm that I've been taught. But let's change that. Let's find out what truly makes sustainable health. It's going to take a little bit of extra effort. It may. Is it worth it? More than 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and that also is multi-layered, because not everyone can afford to feed raw all the time. And this is something I come up against, and you probably come up against it too, I would imagine. Yes, we sacrifice for these beautiful sentient beings that we love, and we should be sacrificing for them because we're their guardians. And for many of us, they're like our kids, they're our children. But there are circumstances where pet parents want to do good and they feel like they're in the middle of a rock and a hard place because they just can't afford raw food all the time. What do you tell your pet parents who are like that? Do you have clients like that? Patients like that?
It is not actually a true belief.
Okay, talk to me. Talk to us.
What happens when that animal gets sick? They go to the vet and somehow they come up with the money that it's going to take to do the testing, to do the treatments, do the surgery, to do the chemo, whatever it is. They find the money when it's broke care, but they're not putting the value on health care. So when people tell me that, and we really sit down, have an honest discussion, not pointing fingers and blaming and shaming, but we really look at what does it cost to feed healthy and stay healthy versus feed something that you know is going to cause a problem and you're in the vet all the time. And we literally look at their bills from other vets or myself, and they're spending thousands of dollars a year on broke care, but they're not calculating that because we're taught, we have this belief system that we can do anything we want in our lifestyle. And when we get sick, we go to the doctor and they give us a pill or an antibiotic or a steroid and we get better. And then we go back to the same lifestyle that we just had. So we really need a paradigm shift. We need to stop and go, A, there's no one out there going to save me but me. We need to own our experience. We need to own our life. We need to own the circumstances of our life. And then we have to decide, how am I going to make this work? And if you add up what you spend in broke care and you take that money and you save it, you will find that you can feed at least 50% raw or better. And then your animals are much healthier.
Yes.
But I
absolutely
see it every day. I have people that spend, they'll come in and they'll go, I don't care what it costs, save this animal. Are they doing it? I'm sure they're doing it out of love. But I think there's some guilt in there too, because they always end up saying something like, I feel like this was my fault. And so now out of guilt, they're trying to do everything that they can to make it right. But we need to just stop and take a deep breath and go, what do I need to change today? And then start making those changes. So I have a nice little hack I teach for people. I have them take a piece of paper and fold it in half. And then they do column A on one side of the paper, column B on the other. And every time you're listening to a podcast or you take my courses or whatever it is that you're learning, column A are all the things that you should be doing, but you're not doing them yet. Operative word, not yet. Column B are all the things that you should not be doing, but you still are because you haven't learned what to substitute in its place.
Great.
Now, you make the list. It's non-judgmental. There's no one looking at it but you. But now you have a roadmap. Now you actually have
instead of analysis paralysis, I'm overwhelmed, there's too much to do. Now you can actually break it down and say, I'm going to pick one thing that I should be doing and I'm going to start doing that. And then I can take one thing from that I need to stop and just stop. Now that's not that hard. Everybody can do one thing.
That's right.
Right?
The one thing. I use it too with my clients, the one thing. It's manageable. And I think that's an amazing idea. And I love it. And I'm going to swipe that from you if that's okay.
You are welcome to share. Absolutely.
We are going to take a short break now from our sponsor. We have to. They keep the lights on. But when we come back, Dr. Siegel is going to share with you the 6 keys to health that she has seen for pet parents to do and you can do right now. She's also going to share maybe a story or two about some animals she's helped and the amazing ways she's been able to cure them. So don't go away, refresh that healthy beverage, and we'll be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. If you've just joined, you're listening to the Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jody Teich, your host. And we're here today with Dr. Marlene Siegel, a holistic veterinarian who has a beautiful, large toolkit of ways to help heal your pets naturally, and such beautiful information to share with us, which is what she's doing today. So, Dr. Siegel, tell us, you have these 6 keys to health. And pet parents listening, you can download this from Dr. Siegel's site, and she can tell you how to access that. Share with my listeners what those 6 keys are.
Okay, so step number 1 is we got to stop doing the things that are causing the problems. You know, that's not rocket science. Einstein said you can't solve problems with the same mindset that created them. And he also said you can't keep doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result. So number 1, we have to stop doing species inappropriate diets. We need to feed structured, highly filtered, preferably hydrogen water. So you know, food and water are very important. Then your environment, what's the air quality? Are you burning petroleum candles? Or are you using essential oils? Are you cleaning with healthy green materials, or are you still using these toxic cleaners that your pet is walking on the floor and laying on the floor and absorbing through their skin? Electromagnetic pollution, huge. Oh my gosh, I could spend a whole day talking about this, but the EMF that's coming off of our routers, our 5G, our neighbor's 5G, the wiring in our house, your computers and your cell phones and all the smart appliances. I do live blood analysis. And when you're exposed to that EMF, it literally causes the fourth phase of water to collapse and your cells start to stick together, your red blood cells stick together in a condition called rouleau. They can't do their job anymore. So it is just so bad that we really have to understand that. And so we do EMF mitigation and we have a lot of tools for that. And then the other part is also the ants that live in our brain, and that's our human brain. And those are the automatic negative thoughts. And it's important because when we are thinking negative thoughts, we create these neurotransmitters from those negative thoughts. And our pets are in training to those negative neurotransmitters. So they don't know that there's not really a saber-toothed tiger out there. They just know that they're sensing from you that there's some major stress going on and it's dangerous and I have to be on high alert. So we could go way deeper into all of that. But step number 1, be aware of that what you're doing that's actually causing the problem and stop it. Number 2, we have to have the essential nutrients. Now, it's pretty amazing that we have these incredible machines that we call our body, and yet there are certain key nutrients that we have to eat in our diet because our body cannot synthesize them in sufficient quantities to do its job. So there are certain vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids that we literally have to eat in order for our bodies to function properly. Because we know our food is nutrient depleted, we have had non-regenerative agriculture for many, many years. Even if it's organic, doesn't mean it has all your nutrients in it. So I am a strong believer in the right supplements so that those essential nutrients are on board. Number three, we heal the leaky gut. We talked earlier about how glyphosate melts those tight junctions. A lot of other things can cause damage. Cortisol, just being in high stress. Cortisol, our stress hormone, causes the leaky gut. So it actually breaks down those tight junctions. So all of that has to be repaired. Then number four, which is my absolute passion, is detoxification. Something that was not taught in vet school the way that I understand it now. But we have these six organs of elimination, and they're designed to help clean the body. We have our kidneys, we have the colon, we have our lungs, the liver, the skin, and the lymphatics / fascia. We now know a lot more about the fascia and how it works. And so I am very big about supporting the lymphatics and the fascia. So when these get jammed up and they are no longer able to do their job because we have overwhelmed them with so much toxin, we've had over 100,000 synthetic toxins developed and released just since 1942, since the end of World War II. That's our lifetime. So, you know, we're swimming in toxins. We have chemtrails raining on our heads with all the chemicals coming down there. I live in a food forest and I see plants that are blooming at the wrong time of year.
Wow.
I've never seen that before, but the last few years, our plants, the earth doesn't know what to do because the seasons are off from the level of toxicity. So very, very important that we learn how to clean those organs of elimination so that they're working. And that's actually something that we do before we even think about treating cancer, because otherwise you're just reabsorbing all these toxins. It has to be able to get out. And then number five is the mitochondria. We talked a little bit about the little powerhouses that make energy. And so we want to make lots of them, mitochondrial biogenesis, and they need to be healthy and happy and really productive. And we need gazillions of them. So it's taking care of them. And then number six was clearing trapped emotions.
Yeah, this is so beautiful and so helpful for pet parents to learn. Where can they find this to download and all this other beautiful information that you do?
The hub of everything me is DR, like doctor, and then my name.com. So drmarlenesiegel.com. You just have to spell it right.
Perfect. Let's end with, maybe you have a favorite story that you want to share or like to share about a pet that you've helped. I watched a few of those videos on your website and they're just beautiful. Ireland just made me cry. So pick one and share it with my listeners so they can see the power in what you do.
I'm going to pick Maybelle because she is a current cancer patient of mine.
Beautiful.
And Maybelle is a multinational champion Weimaraner show dog. And she developed a fibrosarcoma in her mouth. It's an oral cancer in her mouth. And when she came to me, a previous veterinarian had thought it might be that, but they weren't sure. They did a biopsy, but they didn't know what to do after the biopsy. And so, of course, the tumor grew back rather rapidly. And Maybelle has the most amazing, dedicated pet parent, pet guardian. And this woman is just willing to do anything. The dog is extremely special to her. And so we have been working with her almost 10 weeks, 16 weeks, somewhere in there. And the cancer at first got really angry and really big, because when you're killing these cells, they're like a snake that's striking out going, I don't want to die. I want to keep going. And so oftentimes we'll see them look a lot worse before they get better. And so, of course, hers got a lot bigger in the mouth, and it got so big that we actually had to surgically remove it because she couldn't close her mouth all the way. And then we continued doing with her. We've done all of the photodynamic therapy, all our detoxification protocols, high dose vitamin C. She is also getting immunotherapy, and we did some genetic testing to see what her gene mutations were. And we've included some of that therapy as well. And as of the last 2 weeks, there is no tumor in her mouth, like no tumor in her mouth.
That is so
beautiful. To see the pictures it's almost unbelievable. So even there's another doctor, another veterinarian that has worked with us, and he hadn't seen her in a long time. And when he saw it, he called me up and he goes, have you seen her mouth?
I go,
yeah, that's what we do.
But you know, we see that happen a lot where the cancers get really inflamed, very angry, and then they just go away. Now, I'm not saying that all cancers are that. These are very dedicated pet parents that put the work in. They do the diet, they do the supplements, and the supplements are alone, they're arduous. There are so many things that they have to do because in the biohacking world, I am repairing all these pathways. So everything that we use is very targeted to doing something either in a detox pathway or in a cancer pathway, but everything works together so that ultimately, the other thing that we do is always test for deficiencies and toxicities. So that's going to be my big takeaway for pet parents is that these diseases are happening because of four basic things. Deficiencies, where they don't have the essential nutrients that they need. Toxicities, overwhelmed, they can't deal with it anymore. Usually it's a combination of deficiency and toxicity. Number three, mitochondrial dysfunction. The mitochondria can't do their job. That's number three. And the number four is the trapped emotions that are associated with all dis-ease. So we can resolve those four, bring down the inflammation, repair the pathways. The body is a phenomenal, innate, intelligent healing machine. It can do its job if that is what spiritually the purpose of that experience was. So when you put it all together, you can really see miraculous things happen.
You said in one of the videos, I think it was Ireland, it's like watching magic happen. And it is, but it isn't. It all makes sense in science and energy. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Would you be able to send us a before and after picture of Maybelle?
Oh, absolutely.
In her mouth?
Absolutely.
I would love to have that on the show page so people can see. Right now, as we're talking about this, they can see exactly what happened. And I think that that would be really powerful for everyone to look at. So thank
absolutely.
You. Thank you so, so much for being here. This information has been like personally exciting for me to hear. And I think it's going to be very enlightening and educational for pet parents listening. So I so appreciate you. Thank you.
If I can throw one more thing in.
Please.
That is, whoever's listening right now, don't stop with, wow, that was really interesting or that was exciting. Now take action. Do something with that information. Take the next step, whether it's my course or somebody else's courses, but start that educational process for yourself. And then when you do that educational process, commit to making changes. Nothing's going to happen unless you change it. And when we all start doing that, we can truly save our planet, save our pets, and save ourselves.
I love it. Knowledge is in power. It's what you do with it. And it's the one thing. Start with the one thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Blessings, everybody.
Blessings, everyone. Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. As a certified health coach for people and pets, my mission is to share holistic healing information for the whole family to create vibrant health. So tune in next time for expert interviews and tips to give the animals we love the longest and most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody Teich, and this is The Pet Health Coach.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.